The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 15th chapter. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to Jesus to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Well, if you read my devotion this week, we actually have three of these in our house, so you don't have to worry. Sahaley has hers. Sarah has one because she's using it as an illustration, and I have one in my pocket, too. In fact, I have slothy number three. We know the difference because slothy number three is the darkest of the three because he hasn't been washed as many times. But slothy one's getting a little pale these days. But this is a very important thing in our house. And when one of these gets lost, we panic even though there are two others around. Because as easy as one is lost, two may be lost, three may be lost, and then we're in real trouble. So just this morning, I had to go on a hunt for this slothy. I had to raise all the chairs up to see if it was under the chairs. And finally, I realized Sahaley loves the back of the couch. She loves watching the hummingbirds out on the hummingbird feeder. And she had dropped it, and it landed nicely on the window ledge. So it wasn't too hard to find today. But this slothy causes us a lot of grief at times when it's lost. This gospel is interesting in so many ways because it doesn't necessarily make sense to those of us who hear it. If you've ever worked with animals, worked with a large herd of animals, to leave them all to go after one sometimes can cause you way more trouble than simply getting the many safe and then go find the one when the others are so safe. But we hear in this parable about that shepherd who leaves the one, leaves the 99 and goes looking for that lost one. And if you don't think that's absurd, then we get the second one where we get a woman who tears her house apart because she loses one coin. And we might think that's a lot of energy and effort just to find one missing coin. And then when she finds it, she throws a party for everyone around her. The song I sang today, I was reminded of just recently. I was reading a commentary, and the commentator mentioned that song, and I hadn't even thought about that song. It's probably been 4 or 5 years since that song's been used in worship at Bethesda. But it just, all of a sudden, that title came to mind, and it's been sitting with me all week. And the one thing that I've recognized in the midst of all of this is if you're the one receiving God's grace, then it seems a little bit unusual, maybe even crazy. It might sound reckless that God would love us so much, that God would come after us, chase us, and find us. We're gonna sing Amazing Grace after the sermon. And there's a similarity in that for the writer of Amazing Grace recognizing what God has given to him, writes those words, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Those are really personal examples of how God's grace reaches out into the lives of those in need of that grace. But there's an interesting thing in the midst of that that I think we can lose. And that is God's love really reckless? Is God's grace really amazing? Or is that just God? Is that just love? Is that just grace? But yet for us, for those who receive it, we have to add extra words to it to make it mean something more than it does on its own. But for God, it just is what it is. The silly example of this, I've heard this joke just recently. It's a really, really old joke. But it's the guy who convinces God that he can bring whatever he wants to heaven with him. So he brings along gold bars. And when he gets to the gates of heaven, St. Peter says, "Why did you bring paving stones? We have plenty of those here." But you see what I mean? We talk about amazing grace. We talk about reckless love. But for God, it's just love. It's just grace. It's just paving stones. It doesn't have the same value that we give to it. There's something else that's going on in Luke's gospel. It's carried through in Acts. And that's the way Luke thinks about that word repentance. Now, repentance, I've brought it out many times. I have my favorite picture that hangs in my office. Wes Preeb holding up a sign that says repent at Holden Village. If you've never seen it, I'm sorry you missed that sermon, but you can come to my office sometime. You can see the picture. It hangs on the wall all the time. And so in the rest of the Gospels, as we think about repentance, we often think about repentance as the turning around, to turning back towards God, to turning away from the things that draw us away from God. But in Luke's Gospel, Luke has a different understanding of what repentance is. And repentance isn't so much what the repentant does, but what God does for the repentant. And that is inviting them back into community. That repentance is actually the act of bringing someone back into community. So when you hear the start of this gospel, you hear the tax collectors and the sinners that are coming near to listen to Jesus, and you hear the Pharisees and the scribes are grumbling, because Jesus is welcoming these sinners. Now, I learned something else this week. I was listening to a podcast completely unrelated to today's gospel. But I learned something about forgiveness in the understanding of the Jewish community. And for them, if an individual forgives another, forgives the one who has sinned against them, then the community has to forgive them as well. The individual harmed has forgiven the other person. It has to be forgiven as well. Now, there's also this interesting thing that if you hurt somebody in front of 10 people, you have to forgive in front of the same 10 people. If you've hurt them on the internet, somehow you have to forgive to them on the internet with the same amount of people somehow hearing your ask for forgiveness, which is a little bit tricky in today's world. But I think that's interesting in when you read those opening lines to the gospel for today, if you recognize forgiveness in that sense of things, well, first of all, you should recognize that do we run forgiveness that way? Not always, right? Somebody else might forgive the person who's harmed them, but we might not be ready to forgive them. But that's not what we're getting at here. These Pharisees and scribes are grumbling because Jesus, by welcoming in the sinners and tax collectors, tells them that they need to welcome them in as well. And not just welcome them in, but rejoice that they are there with them. And I think that's the other part of repentance that we don't necessarily, that the way Luke uses it, that we don't necessarily understand, that sense of repentance being brought back into the community means that the whole community celebrates because you were here. The whole community celebrates because that one who was lost is now found. And then it makes sense that the shepherd would call his friends together to celebrate. It makes sense that the woman would call her friends together to celebrate because what was lost is found. And the only way we share that is in the midst of community. We share that sense of repentance with the whole community when we bring the one who was lost back into the fold. The thing that has sat with me all week is the fact that the sheep doesn't know it's lost. The coin definitely doesn't know it's lost. And I think there are many times in our own lives where Christ seeks after us and we don't even know we're lost. And I think it's the part that the Pharisees and the scribes don't quite understand, that they will have moments in their lives as well that they will be lost. And it's in those moments that we have the promise that Jesus will leave the 99 behind and seek after the one, that Jesus will tear the house apart and search for the one lost coin. And another way that our human understanding doesn't quite match with the way the kingdom of God works is that God can hold the 99 safe and search for the one. God can hold on to the 9 silver coins and still go searching, tearing the house apart for the 10th one. You see, we try to limit God so often to how we understand the world. We recognize if we're going to chase after one, we got to leave the 99. If we're going to tear the house apart looking for one, we can't be watching the other ones. But it's like that reckless love, it's like that amazing grace that God can do it all at once. I think that's a word of grace too, because if I'm lost and you're lost, God can seek us both at the same time. It's not one at a time, it's not one in each moment, but God can seek and God can hold us all together. The question I have, especially in the world in which we live these days, is can we rejoice when the sinner repents? Can we rejoice when God brings one more back in? When God finds the lost, brings the lost back into community? Can we rejoice in those moments? Or will we be like the Pharisees and the scribes that grumble and say, who else is Jesus going to ask me to welcome in? Who else is Jesus going to ask me to welcome in? We know that this parable goes on, and we're going to get to hear about this parable going on another day. But we know that for those of us who have recognized God's grace and God's love in our life, it feels amazing. It might seem reckless. It might seem overwhelming. It might seem any number of things. But we are reminded again that Jesus seeks out the lost. This is how Jesus loves. This is how Jesus shares grace, the grace and love of God with us. It's just grace, just love. But boy, it can seem reckless and amazing to us. Amen.